So here we are at Cheltenham Racecourse with Sophia Dale, who's Head of Communications. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us, Sophia.
That's not a problem at all. Great to see you here.
Yes, thank you. Well, it's nice to be here. I think it's the first time ever I have been on the racecourse itself. And here we are in the Hall of Fame, isn't it?
Yes.
This is the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Yes, very
on this
good.
Beautiful sunny day.
Absolutely. When there's no racing, but today would be a nice day for racing, but you'd have to have horses used to the hard going, wouldn't you?
Yes,
if it was a flat course.
We're a jump racing course, so we race between October and the beginning of May.
Yeah.
Through the winter season, so we make life hard for ourselves, challenging ourselves with different weather conditions.
Yeah.
This year it was a very, very wet winter.
Yes. And of course in March we had two very bad weeks of snow, didn't we?
Which was completely unexpected,
really.
It was incredibly challenging in terms of how we ran the event operationally this year.
Mm.
The beast from the east
provided
us with a lot of snow on the course, which
yes.
of course then had to be removed by hand.
Ooh.
Which is quite hard labour for the guys out there.
That,
we couldn't risk it melting into the course and
no.
getting more water in there. So
we
did the old-fashioned way of wheelbarrows and spades for many, many hours.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And obviously challenges around car parks and
yeah.
infrastructure installed and that kind
yeah.
of stuff. And
yeah.
then it cleared up and it was wet, so car parks got even wetter. And we started the going this year on heavy ground, which is the most extreme muddy,
yes.
cloyy ground that
yes.
you can get.
Yes.
Which is the first time in 36 years that the
yeah.
festival has started on ground like that.
Heavy, yes.
Heavy.
Yes.
And then by the time the festival finished on Friday, 4 days later, 28 races later, the race course was looking a little bit worse for wear. And the next day you wouldn't have known at all because we'd had a whole load of snow and racing would have been cancelled anyway. So it was like the weather gods knew the festival was happening and there was a break in the snow
there
just for
are.
Us to host the festival.
Yeah. And that is the main event, isn't it, for the race course? I mean, the Gold Cup week, the festival week, is what Cheltenham is connected
yes,
with.
Yes.
You say Cheltenham and you think the festival week,
yeah,
don't
no,
you?
That's very much our biggest event. It's 260,000 people over the 4 days, so, you know, well into, like, major sporting events within this country.
Mm.
It's huge. It's the number one Anglo-Irish event here. It's something that the Irish feel very passionate about. We get a lot of Irish visitors over the 4 days.
Mm.
And looking at demographics and doing some analysis on our ticket sales, it's an event that captures people from around the UK and Ireland. You know, people visit us from all over. It's when Cheltenham Racecourse becomes a national event rather than just, you know, a racing or a local Gloucestershire event.
Yes. I suppose that's where you have to make sure you've got plenty of Guinness in.
Yes, there are absolutely. I mean, there are challenges with having 70,000 people on site. You know, basic things like toilet provision and
of
that
course,
kind of stuff,
yes,
right through
yes,
to
yep.
making sure their tickets scan on the way in, making sure that they
yep.
can park their car if they're driving or get the train. Or, yeah. So
yes.
it's a huge and fascinating operational logistical challenge.
I'm sure it must be. So how long has the race course been here?
The race course has been here for many, many years. They first raced up on Cleve Hill, which sits just above us, and not a very practical place for a race course, so we're all delighted that they then moved down the hill.
Mm.
They reckon we've been racing here for about 100 years or so.
Right.
The Gold Cup, which is the principal race that we host here, that will celebrate its centenary in 2024, having had its first race in 1924. So that's an exciting anniversary coming up for us.
Yes, so if we're both
time.
Still here,
yes.
we could be doing this
we
again.
We could be chatting about 100 years of the Gold Cup.
Or we could be running this interview then as well.
Yes.
Do you remember the interview that we did back in 2018 when we said about 2024?
Yeah, so
yes.
another 6 years' time.
Yeah, another
but
six.
I'm sure we'll be doing loads to
yes,
celebrate that.
In the meantime, yeah. So was the racing here before 1924? I mean,
there was some racing before. There was a period of time, and the race course, the actual layout of the race course has changed quite a lot over the years.
Mm.
We now have an enclosure, the other side of the race course from the main grandstand is called the Best Mate enclosure.
Mm.
But 50 years ago, the race course went straight through that. The paddock's moved a number of times. It's now facing a different direction.
Right.
So the infrastructure around the race course has changed a bit.
Yes.
But the basic race course has always stayed the same once they were on this side.
Yes, yes. So, that's 100 years pretty much of famous steeplechases.
Absolutely, yes. No, I mean, some of the most famous names in jump racing have been here at Cheltenham, have taken part in the races, have crossed the winning line and returned to the winners' enclosure as champions. And, there is such a kind of history of amazing, amazing horses, right through to... First horse who ran the Gold Cup was called Red Splash, but in that
Red Splash.
Yeah, 1924. But in that time, we've had Golden Miller in the late 20s, who won it five times. Arcor, who won it three times, who was probably, well, everyone has different opinions, but one of the best racehorses of that we have ever known in jump racing. Right through, of course, to the winner of this the Gold Cup this year is a horse called Native River. It's got an amazing story to it.
And was Desert Orchid a winner here or not?
Yep, Desert Orchid was a winner here. He did win a Gold Cup, but he was also kind of famous for his Kempton exploits. He won a couple of King Georges and stuff like that. So he ran here and he did win Gold Cups, but he was also famous for lots of other races.
Yes, so he wasn't just a Cheltenham horse.
No, he very much wasn't. There's a statue of him at Kempton, one of our sister race courses, just outside London.
Yes, rather like Red Rum at...
rather like Red Rum at Aintree, exactly.
Yes,
Red Rum is actually, his ashes are at Aintree at the race course.
Yes, he says hello to all the winners.
With the place. Yes, he does,
exactly. All the winners as they pass over, yes.
He's very synonymous with Aintree and the trainer, his trainer. Ginger McCain, there's a head of a bust of him on the race course as well. There's racing's amazing. It's got an amazing history and heritage.
And there must be some trainers, I suppose, who prefer some courses for their particular horses.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, horses, they're not machines. We always say they're not machines. It's not like Formula One where you can fiddle a machine and it's so clever it can tell you what's wrong with it. Horses they have personalities, they have traits, they have quirks, and we get some horses that don't like, we race here on an anti-clockwise. Some horses don't like racing anti-clockwise, known as left-handed. Some horses like to go clockwise because of the angle at which they jump the fence. And therefore they wouldn't probably tend to race at Cheltenham because it wouldn't suit them, or they wouldn't. We've got a hill. We're known for being quite a hilly race course. There's quite a lot of ups and downs, and to get to the winning post here, you have to go up a hill.
Yes,
which makes it such a test. But there's some horses that don't like that. They like flat courses like Kempton. So horses are different and they could just be having a bad day.
Yes, they could.
And they can't tell us.
I'm fed up. I don't want to race today.
Yeah.
No matter what the jockey does, I'll throw him off after the first fence, I think.
Exactly. Some of them just refuse to even... They get down to the start and then refuse to go any further than that. So
that must be embarrassing all round.
Yes, no, I think there was a horse relatively recently called... I think he was called... What was he called? I think he was called... I can't remember what he's called. And Mad Max. What springs to mind, but it wasn't that. Anyway, and he just refused to start all the time. So eventually he just got told that he's not allowed to race anymore.
He probably thought, good.
Yes, no. He was like, he was trying to make his point. He was I just want to go and live in a field and have a lovely life.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So that's... the past. I mean, actually, the race course, I think you made mention in the comment earlier, the race course might not even have been here, but for the kind of activity of senior chief execs in the past.
It was rescued by a group of gentlemen who realised that its future was under threat. I think, forgive me, I've probably got the date completely wrong, I think this was in the 60s, 70s.
Okay.
The race course was under threat from property developers, as you would expect, given the location right on the edge of the town.
Absolutely.
And these gentlemen got together and purchased it and basically saved it. And now it's become such a major kind of sporting venue. You could look back at it and think, how could that have ever happened? But, it obviously had its ups and downs and they rescued it. The main person behind it was a gentleman called Johnny Henderson. There was still a race at the festival named after him.
Oh, is there?
He's sadly no longer with us. But there's still a race named after
him.
That's the
connection, you say, yes. Yeah. And I was just thinking, when you were talking about Red Splash, perhaps there ought to be a kind of a centenary race in 2024 called the Red Splash Cup or something like that.
There's so much we can do to celebrate 100 years. I hope I'm still here to have fun with it, because it's going to be fabulous to look back over the 100 years and some of the horses we've had here.
And of course you've got the grandstand. That was a recent development, wasn't
it? Yes, we had we put in a new grandstand. It's called the Princess Royal Stand, and that was opened in November 2015. So it was about an 18-month build, been in the planning for obviously considerably longer than that. And I was here for the build redevelopment. I kind of came in just as it was starting. It was a hugely challenging time for us as a senior management team, because obviously we had a race course to run, events to host. We didn't move any racing around. We raced around the building site. But we still had this grandstand to build. But it's fabulous, and the feedback we've had on it has just been brilliant over the last couple of years. It's really bedded in, and it's changed the dynamics of how this place works just so much for the better.
And of course it's not just the major race meetings for the course, is it? Because you have the, just run us through the key racing events.
Absolutely. So we have 16 days a year. We only operate racing 16 days a year, so actually more often than not, this place is not got horses on it, and it's all lovely and quiet. But those 16 days a year start in October. We have a two-day fixture called the Showcase, and then moving through 3 weeks later in November, we have a three-day fixture called the November Meeting, 2 days in December, 2 days in January, and then a break as we build up for the big one, which is the 4 days in the festival in March.
Right. And then I suppose between then and October, you've got time to sort out the course.
Yes, absolutely. We have a couple more race days at the end of the season, so 2 days in April and one evening racing in May, because obviously the evenings are longer, getting lighter by that time, and so we start racing at 5 and finish at 8 or something like that. So that's our kind of like quite unique day in that regard.
That's like an end of term job.
It is. Yes, it really is. Yes. And we then don't really race for, well, we don't race for about 5-6 months. And that's what gives us the time to look back and reflect on the season, what learnings we've had, what we need to improve on, where we need to, you know, invest, where what's number one priorities, letting the fences grow out, all the jobs that need doing over the summer months. And then we'll start to really, like, attention will really start focusing on the season again. Kind of come first week of September, when everyone's summer holidays are over and August is gone, and there's that kind of back to school feeling that's always such a week for us, where it's like, right, racing is 6-7 weeks away now, and here we go again.
Yes Perhaps I should do a feature on my programme and have the racing results from Cheltenham on a Friday, but that's the only time I go out, so it would sound a bit odd, wouldn't it? But there you are. Yes, so you've got those events, so that's just 16 days of racing. That leaves 349 days of
good
the
maths.
Good maths, you see. Yes, so there are other facilities here at the course, aren't there?
Absolutely. I mean, we would turn our hands to so many things here. Outside of racing, this summer already we've hosted a couple of festivals, three festivals in total. Some people come and camp on the race course, and they're overnight festivals, some are just one day activities, so there's all sorts there. We have an auditorium here, which is one of the biggest auditoriums in the southwest. It seats about 2,500 people, full audiovisual setup, everything
concerts.
Like that. Concerts, yeah, no, we do concerts. We haven't had a concert recently. We have quite a lot of comedians who come and do evening performances. We've just started doing a lot more darts. We've had darts for the last couple of years in February. And that's the big World Challenger Series. So that is Michael Van Gogh and you know all the major darts players who come. And really excitingly, actually, in February the next year, 2019, we'll be hosting a big snooker final here as well. Which will be again in the auditorium that we have here. So we'll turn our hands to most things. You know, even today there's people in using our facilities, and you know, we maintain a catering output every, you know, all days we have chefs here and stuff like that. So we can still cater for people. We've got the space, we've got endless car parking, easy transport, so it is a great venue for various events.
Yeah, you can't sort of let the place lie idle, can you, for the 349
it's a side of a business that we call conference and events, and you know, so it's a really important side of the business to us, and we've got some really large clients who come and do events here. You know, they appreciate the space, and I think for a lot of people, like, the space is such a big thing, because you go to a hotel or you go to you know, some feature place in London, and, like, I don't know, like London Bridge or something, and the space is always a premium, whereas here it was,
you've got plenty of,
we can park, plenty of open, we can park 10,000 cars should you need us to,
and have a look at the Cotswolds,
and the beautiful, the view out of the grandstands is really truly stunning.
Absolutely, yes. So it's if people wanted to find out about any of the events here, apart from the racing and the other events, they would go to your website, which is
www.cheltenham.co.uk.
Very straightforward.
How easy is that?
How easy is that?
Yeah.
So, Fardell, thank you very much for talking to us on NCCR.
Thank you very much.
About 20 odd minutes, that was.
Perfect.
Good, isn't it? Mm.